Welcome everyone to Node.js for .NET Developers. Thank you so much for attending this session. My name is David Neal. You can follow me on the Twitters at Reverent Geek, and I blog somewhat regularly on reverentgeek.com. And I am a MVP in ALM, and you can trust me because I have facial hair and I sometimes know how to computer. I'm joined today by Alvin Ashcraft, my moderator, and you can find him on the webs at alvinashcraft.com and on Twitter as Alvin Ashcraft. And he knows how to computer as well, and he is an MVP in .NET. And today I'm excited to talk to you about Node.js, the technology, some of it of my journey from .NET to Node.js. We're going to cover a crash course on how to get started, look at some popular tools and frameworks, and we'll talk about some integration strategies for bridging the gap between .NET and Node.js, how those two can coexist or how we might migrate from one to the other. So to start off, you may have seen or heard Scott Hanselman say that JavaScript has won the web. That anything that can be written in JavaScript will eventually be written in JavaScript. And just for example, if you search for JS Linux, that might blow your mind. It is a virtual PC running Linux in the browser, all compiled from JavaScript. Douglas Crockford, in a panel discussion a few years ago, declared that JavaScript is tragically important. You may know him as the author of JavaScript, The Good Parts, which is a suspiciously small book compared to the official documentation or guide. So Node.js is a fairly new platform. It's just exploded in popularity over the last few years and has gotten a lot of attention. And it is a JavaScript execution engine for the server side. So this has gotten a lot of attention because there JavaScript's been around for a long time. It's a very important language, and it's become the universal de facto language of the web. And for developers who have been doing web applications, this is a very compelling platform for them because now they can use one language, JavaScript, to write both server-side and client-side code. Node.js is written, utilizes the Chrome V8 JavaScript engine. What that means is JavaScript is not just interpreted at runtime, it's compiled to bytecode and to native code and can run just as efficiently as any other compiled language once it's run through that first JIT process. There's also the Chrome V8 engine is one of the fastest JavaScript engines available as well. Now, JavaScript runs in a single-threaded event loop. Now, what that means is there's a lot of the code has to be asynchronous by default. You can't have any blocking I/O blocking code in your JavaScript, and this forces your programming into a fully asynchronous manner. And single-threaded may sound like a bad idea. It may sound like, well, we can't scale with just a single thread. But the reality is asynchronous code, non-blocking code on a single thread, you can support thousands, if not tens of thousands, concurrent connections without the overhead of context switching and thread switching. there are ways of getting around the CPU limitation. So there's modules and tools available where you can scale beyond just a single core on a machine. But using a single-threaded, event-driven asynchronous model is what gives us a kind of a more simplified view of writing code. We don't have to worry about the complexities of multi-threading. We can focus on writing asynchronous code, and the Node.js platform can scale that for us. The other thing that makes Node.js compelling is the community itself. Node.js, because it's JavaScript and it's kind of a universal language, regardless of what platform developers are coming from, it has exploded across all different types of platforms, whether it be PHP, .NET, Ruby on Rails, Java. Lots of folks have come together and contributed to this very vibrant and exciting platform and community. Last time I checked, NuGet, which is .NET's package platform, there were around, I want to say 36,000 packages that were available. Last time I checked on Node's NPM, there were over 140,000 modules available. So the kind of the idea of, whatever you can imagine, there's an app for that. You can say, well, just about anything you can think of in Node.js, there's probably a module for that. And maybe not just one module, but several modules, which is both a good and bad thing. So then it becomes a little bit of a process to figure out which module may be the best to use, but it's a good problem to have. Another reason Node.js has gotten some attention is Microsoft has also taken notice and started investing into Node.js. Node.js, when it was first launched, only ran on Linux and Unix machines, and so Microsoft invested the time and money into making Node.js a first-class citizen on Windows platform, and it is now a first-class citizen in Azure, and there's been a lot invested in Azure to make it a no more difficult than deploying any other type of application in Azure. There's also native Node.js modules for all of Azure's services. So why Node.js? There's a great article out on nearform.com titled Why Node.js is Becoming the Go-To Technology in the Enterprise. And the highlights from that article are things like rapid innovation and delivery, developer happiness, attracting and retaining talent, and performance. And every company that I've talked to, every case study that I've read, seems to also highlight these kinds of things as being reasons why Node.js is really becoming popular. So at my company, we have been traditionally an ASP.NET, MVC shop, C#, SQL, and we've kind of gotten to a point in our scalability story where we've started looking at, well, what other tools can complement what we have that can help us scale and manage our infrastructure better. So the reason we started looking at Node.js is because JavaScript. We spend a lot of time and resources on our client-side code, and we could leverage developers that have this really deep knowledge of JavaScript and also apply that on the server side as well. So we can take our developers that are traditionally client-side, and also they can participate in server-side code. It's also helped us from a recruiting standpoint in that we are no longer constrained to just pick, recruit developers from a limited talent pool of .NET developers. Now we can expand our recruiting efforts to look at lots of developers from every platform, from Java, PHP, and Ruby, and so forth. And we've also found that Node.js has made us much more productive and seems to have much less friction when it comes to doing things like test-driven development and building small microservices and for using other technologies such as RabbitMQ and React and Redis. And the other reason why Node.js is pretty awesome is that it is cross-platform and it's a first-class citizen that runs on anything. So we can deploy to more cost-effective Linux servers. Or we can develop, our developers can choose which platform they want to develop on, whether they want a Windows desktop or they want a Mac. And since adopting Node.js, it's really invigorated our development team. There's been a lot of job satisfaction. We've had it's been a fun and really encouraging step for us as a team. There's another article on blog.risingstack.com called What is Node.js used for in the 2015 Node.js overview report. One of the interesting charts that I saw in that article was how long have you worked with Node.js and how much do you like your job? There seems to be a strong correlation between the longer you work with Node.js, the happier you are with the work that you do. And to me, Node.js exemplifies this idea of start with the simplest solution that works and do one thing and do it well. Node.js is known for being blazing fast, highly concurrent, this idea of low friction, cross-platform, and it's really designed to be the best at what it does, and that's to be a modern web server. As I mentioned, there's a number of use cases that you can find on the internet. One of the most recent ones is Fandango, which is a traditional Microsoft shop as well, coming from the .NET platform. And the reasons why they've started adopting Node.js is to have dramatically shorter development cycles. They're moving toward a microservices architecture. It gives them a lot of flexibility in deployment. And it's easy to scale their infrastructure. PayPal is another use case, case study. And the interesting thing with the PayPal case study is they decided to run an experiment. They were going to have one team that was dedicated to building a new system on their old platform. In this case, it was Java, so they've been on Java for many years. They're Java experts, and they want to explore. They had another team build the same system, same new features, same application in Node.js so they could compare the outcome of this experiment. And what they found was not only was there they were more productive with fewer developers, even though they were Java experts moving to Node.js, but they also, the end result was fewer lines of code, fewer number of files to maintain, and 2x improvement of requests per second, and also a decrease in the average response time. Walmart is another case study. And what better time to launch a new platform than Black Friday for a retail company, right? So 2013, they launched a new mobile platform on Node.js, and they took, they measured and monitored their system over that day. They had over 200 million users. Their servers that were running this new Node.js platform never went over 1% CPU utilization, and they also deployed updates during the day without any interruption or hitches in their service. who else is using Node.js? Well, there's if you go to nodejs.org/industry, you'll see a huge list. These are some of the ones that kind of stood out to me: Groupon and LinkedIn and Zendesk. Some of these are companies that have migrated from some other platform, and some, like Uber, have adopted Node.js from the beginning. So what are the Node.js use cases? Pretty much the internet. Anything and everything that you want to do for the internet, Node.js is a compelling and great platform. Single page applications, of course. The ubiquitous Hello World application for Node.js is a chat, a real-time chat application. So within just a few lines of code, it's pretty trivial to set up a Node.js application that can do real-time communications between lots of nodes. The last one, proxy service, this is been a typical integration pattern for folks like PayPal and Walmart and other companies that have slowly been migrating their old API platforms, back-end platforms from whatever they were using before to Node.js, where Node.js kind of fits in between and acts as a proxy where it can handle either native requests natively without having to call into any external code, or it may proxy to another service that's like part of their legacy system. Installing Node.js is very, very easy to do. You can go to nodejs.org, click the big green install button, and run the installer. Or if you're not already familiar with Chocolaty, go to chocolaty.org, and this will change your life as a developer. This is like a app package manager for Windows, and you can use this to easily install lots of things on your system. I personally use Mac as my I have a MacBook, and I have a number of virtual machines with Windows installed, and Chocolaty allows me to install lots of applications and dependencies that I need to set up my development environments very easily. So after Chocolaty takes one line of code to install, and after that you can do things like Choco install, Node.js.install. Once Node.js is installed on the machine, there's basically two command line applications. Node itself being this is a JavaScript execution engine, and it's as easy as typing in the command line node space and a JavaScript file to execute. The other command line utility is npm, which is the Node package manager, and that's similar to NuGet, and that's how it's used to install, download, and install node modules that your application may depend on. Now, one thing to note is that some of the node modules that are available actually come down with C code that must be compiled on your machine so that it can run natively. So depending on what platform you're on, whether it be Windows or Linux or Mac OS X, you may need to compile code that gets pulled down. And so on the Windows machine, you're going to need a couple of things. One is Python version 2, and you can install that easily with Chocolaty using Choco install Python 2, or you can go to python.org and download that for your machine. The other thing you need is Visual C++ 2010 Express. And even if you have Visual C++ installed on your machine as part of like Visual Studio 2012 or 2013, it's still a good idea to get the 2010 Express Edition. The reason is some of the Windows-specific modules have build targets that are targeted at 2010. So you may run into an error or something when you go to build a module because it's looking for that specific version. And it's very, again, with Chocolaty, it's very easy to install. The other thing that you may want to have, if you're comfortable with Visual Studio and want to continue to use Visual Studio for working with Node.js, is the Node.js tools for Visual Studio. You can get those on CodePlex, and they're also now available on GitHub as open source. And the minimum requirements are you need either Visual Studio 2012 Pro or higher, or the free Visual Studio Community 2013 edition. You will need to make sure that you have the latest Visual Studio updates applied. And I also want to note that if you don't have Visual Studio, but still want to play around with Visual Studio, or you don't want to install the Node.js tools on your box, or for whatever reason, there are some Azure virtual machines available. So if you have an MSDN account, you have access to Azure, you can create an Azure virtual machine and choose a machine that has Visual Studio with the Node.js tools already installed. Another option that's available to you, you may have heard from the Build Conference, is Visual Studio Code. This is a code-focused development environment. It is cross-platform. It runs on Linux, Mac OS X, and Windows. It's called Code Assistance, so it's somewhere in between an editor and a full-blown IDE. It gives you things like debugging and some IntelliSense, and makes it easy to manage your projects. And it's a great tool, and we'll look at that a little bit later. So, that's enough talk. You ready for some cheesy demos? I'm going to switch over to my virtual machine where I have Visual Studio 2013. And what we're going to do is start a new project. And with the Node.js tools already installed in my version of Visual Studio, I've got a number of project templates that are available to me. Everything from creating a project based on existing Node.js code, Node.js console application, and a number of web applications, some based on Express. Express being arguably the most popular web framework tool for Node.js. And there's also a number of project templates available for Azure. We're going to start a basic Node.js Express 4 application, and we'll call this Express MVP. We'll take just a minute or two to create this project. You'll get a box that comes up and says, do you want to run npm install to get these dependencies? And we'll answer yes. And what's going to happen is npm in the background is going to go out and download Express and all the dependencies in this project. And before we look at any code, let's talk about the structure of the project. So we have an npm folder, and here we can see that the npm modules, such as Express and other dependencies, have been installed and are listed here. And this is similar to NuGet. Public is our static resources, like images and JavaScript and CSS files. Routes, these are like both our routing definitions and our controllers. And then views are our template files, by default, this particular Node.js project template uses Jade as the template engine, but Express is very, very flexible. You can swap out basically anything, including the template engine. So Jade is kind of a, might be a foreign templating syntax, but you can switch it out for something like handlebars, or even there's one called Vash that is basically the same Razor syntax that you may already be familiar with from ASP.NET MVC. The other thing I want to point out is this package JSON file. This is kind of like the manifest for a Node.js application. It includes metadata and also lists the dependencies that our Node.js application depends on. This is how we can, when we go to deploy a Node.js application, we can run a simple script, npm install, and it will look at these list of dependencies, pull down and install those modules, which is basically what Visual Studio did for us when we answered yes to install those dependencies. So looking at app.js, this is the main entry point to our Express application and is used to configure it. Express itself is very lightweight and unopinionated. You compose and build up your application using modules and Express middleware. Now, if you've seen some of the new changes coming to ASP.NET MVC vNext, you'll recognize that it's been inspired by technologies like Node.js and Express. It's very composable and flexible with what modules and what things you want to include in your application. The next thing I want to point out is these require statements. Require is similar to like a using statement in C#, but it not only pulls in a dependency or references that dependency, but it also creates an instance of that dependency that we can then turn around and use. So there's two types of require statements. There's one that has just the name of the module that we're requiring. And that assumes this is a module that's been installed with npm and is going to be located in this folder, special folder, not node underscore modules. The other type of require statement has a relative path. And in this case, like for routes, we're referencing slash routes slash index. And this actually refers to a file that's in our project. So this is how we reference other modules. We can create modules for Node.js and reference those using the require statement. And also notice that the file name is actually index.js, but it's an optional. We don't have to specify the .js extension when we reference those using require. Now, Visual Studio is great because it gives us abilities, the same type of debugging experience that we're used to with .NET code. So we can set breakpoints in our code, and we can run it and interact with it. I'm going to open up this routes index file, and we can see here that we've got a couple of require statement. We're pulling in Express, and then we have a single route defined. This is the home page, and I'm going to set a breakpoint right here where we render the home page and run this application. We'll see the command line pop up, and then immediately we've hit our breakpoint, and we can do things like mouse over some of the variables. We see a locals window down here where we can inspect some local variables, and we also have a call stack. So great debugging experience. We can set watch variables and all the things that we would expect to be able to do in Visual Studio. We can also step over code. We can step into and out of code. Works great. I'm going to clear this breakpoint and continue. And out of the box, we get this plain vanilla Express application. It doesn't really do much right now. It's just a starting point. So let's go back and do something a little interesting. First of all, I want to talk about a common pattern that's in Node.js. Since we are, Node.js is asynchronous, whenever we call a function in Node.js, the typical pattern is we're going to call a function, we're going to pass any number of parameters as our parameters to that function, and then the last parameter is typically a callback function. So in this case, we're saying router.get, which is our verb, and this is the parameter that we're passing in. This is the route, and then the second parameter is our callback function. So that means it's basically telling Node, when you're done with the work of this get statement, this get function, call this next function that I'm giving you, and that is this block of code here that that is rendering the page. And the other thing that I want to point out about this index module is that modules require this module.exports. This is the magic or the secret sauce to turn any JavaScript file that's in your project into a module that you can reference elsewhere. You want to export either a function or an object literal that gives the rest of your code access to particular functions or properties or objects that you care about. So let's go to our in here, let's change our title from Express to MVP vconf. And let's go to our template file. Again, this may look a bit foreign if you've never seen Jade before. And we're going to add another paragraph and say, thank you for attending my session. Save that. We'll run our debugger again. And now we've made a simple change to our project, MVP vconf, and thank you for attending my session. Another nice tool that's available with the Node.js tools is a interactive window. So if you go to Tools, Node.js Tools, and then find Node.js Interactive Window, this gives us a nice command prompt console type way, similar to like a REPL, where we can do arbitrary commands like x equals 3, y equals 4, and then x plus y. And we can inspect variables. We can do some interesting things. It gives us a way to play around with the JavaScript language and with the Node.js utilities that are available to us. I want to talk about NPM briefly. NPM, like I said, is like your NuGet package manager. If you right-click on NPM in your project, you get one of the options is to install new NPM packages. This brings up a package manager that is somewhat similar to NuGet. We can search for things like Lodash, which is a very popular JavaScript utility library, and we can click on the package that we want and click install package, and it will download this and not only install it in our list of our node modules folder, but it will also add that dependency to our package JSON so that when we go to deploy our application, it now will correctly install the dependencies that we've pulled in with NPM. Now, like I said before, you've probably heard about Visual Studio Code from the Build conference, and it's available on all platforms. This is what it looks like on Windows, and I'll switch over to my Mac, and you'll see that it looks identical. Now, how did the interesting thing is, how did they build this editor? Well, they built it with Node.js, of course. It's using the same desktop framework called Electron that's been developed by GitHub that GitHub has their Atom editor built on top of. It is certainly a new Microsoft, and it's exciting to see that Microsoft is beginning to embrace open source and other platforms. So here's the Visual Studio, the same application that we were looking at in Visual Studio. I've got it here in Visual Studio Code. This is on my Mac, and I can also do things like I can look at that the route that we were just looking at before. And I can set breakpoints, and I can go to debug, and when we launch this, we'll see the debugger start over here, and we can switch to, we've got Chrome running, and we've hit our breakpoint, and I can do some things like, now, Visual Studio Code has just been released, so it's still got some rough edges. Sometimes the local variables will show up, sometimes they don't. I'm sure this is something that will get fixed soon. We can see a call stack down here. If we just continue on from this point, we can see that we got the same web application running on Mac as we did on Windows. The other thing I like about Visual Studio Code is the integration with repositories like Git. I can, for instance, update something like, I need to stop first. I'll save this. And what'll happen is I get a little indicator here next to my Git integration, and I can see what files have been changed in my project, and when I click on a file, I get a nice diff view. I'll switch back over to the slides and talk about deploying Node.js applications. So typically, you don't include that node modules folder. This is something that that's created by the npm when you install dependencies. And again, like I said before, depending on which platform you're deploying to, there may need to be a compilation step that happens when you first deploy your application. So deploy your code and your like static files and references and so forth, and then that package.json, when you run npm install, will create for you that node modules folder and everything that's needed. Now, it is possible that you can create builds for specific targets if you really know and really want to control your environment. So if you know that you're deploying to a specific version of Windows Server, you can have the same version of Windows Server and architecture and so forth as your build server, and to create that node modules folder and deploy the entire project structure. But typically, you're not going to include node modules when you deploy. Azure is very, very easy to deploy Node.js applications. I know there was a talk earlier today on deploying or working with web applications in Azure, and some of the same things that in that talk would apply to Node.js as well. You can deploy using Git integration or Visual Studio Online integration and make it really, really easy to update and maintain your application. When deploying to Windows servers, you may want to consider using IIS Node for your web applications. This is a web module that plugs into IIS that allows it Node to interact. So you get kind of the best of both worlds. Or you can use something like Windsor for deploying services that are going to be running for a long time, and it will automatically do things like restart your service if your application crashes. You can start and stop the application using the Windows Service Manager and so forth. On Linux, you want to use something like Forever, which will launch, do the same kind of thing. It manages the lifetime of your Node.js application. Hosting Node.js on Azure, like I said, is very, very simple. Probably the simplest scenario is to go to your Azure portal, click New, and click create a new website from the gallery, and you'll choose a Node.js empty site. And then you can connect to a repository like GitHub or Visual Studio Online and manage automatic deployments. There's a number of other scenarios as well. I've got a blog post out on my website, Hosting Node.js on Microsoft Azure. I'll provide this link in with my resources at the end of this session. So here are some recommendations I have for you. Lodash, which is a great universal, you may be familiar with Lodash or Underscore from doing client-side JavaScript development already. Win is a promise library that makes it really easy to compose your applications instead of having to deal with lots of nested callbacks. Async, you can think of that as like a task parallel library. There's also Request, which is a module called REST, which makes it really easy to call other web services. So you can make calls out to other boxes or other services outside of your application. Gulp is a popular build engine and test runner. There are a number of others out there. I prefer Gulp at this time. Might change next week. There's Socket.io for doing real-time applications. Node Inspector. So if you're not using a tool like Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code, Node Inspector is a great way of debugging your application. It basically launches Chrome and gives you all the Chrome developer tools for stepping through your code and inspecting variables and so forth. And then Mocha, Chai, and Sinon are great test tools to be able to do test-driven development, and it makes it really, really easy to do a test-driven approach to your application development. Some popular Node.js frameworks. Express is, like I said, the most popular. There are a number of others that you can find out on nodeframework.com and nodewebmodules.com. The interesting thing is a number of these are basically implementations or opinionated implementations on top of Express that eliminate a lot of the boilerplate or plumbing that you may have to write yourself. Makes it really easy to create REST APIs and web apps. Another thing I want to mention is a special module called Edge.js. Edge.js is a module that allows you to run .NET code in process with Node.js. And not just like C# code, you can basically use anything from the .NET framework. You can do F#, you can execute ADO.NET code directly, you can use IronPython, and you can also call into PowerShell. And it supports not only, you can do inline code, or you can reference specific files like a CS file or CSX file, or you can reference compiled assemblies. It's a great alternative to writing native modules in C. So as I've mentioned, the current story for Node.js today is you either write a module in JavaScript or you can include some C code. With Edge.js, you can also leverage .NET. It does require .NET 4.5 or Mono 3.1 because we need that async and await support. Again, Node.js is a single-threaded event loop, so we can't have our .NET code block that thread, so we need to utilize the async capabilities of .NET 4.5 to make that happen. So what can you do with Edge.js? You can certainly leverage your existing .NET investment. You can do things like access SQL Server and other databases through ADO.NET, although the modules available for Node.js for SQL Server specifically have come a long way. You can do things like TFS and SharePoint Exchange, basically any application in the Microsoft ecosystem that may not have a good enough module available in Node.js today. Things like Active Directory and hardware and security, being able to access, you know, parts of Win32 drivers, doing CPU intensive work like video encoding, and you can do some interesting things with PowerShell, like for DevOps or for automating some things out of your Node.js application that may make sense to use PowerShell for. So .NET and Node.js integration. So what are some strategies? What are some ways that we can, if you're coming from the .NET world, that we can start to leverage Node.js in our organization? Well, certainly we can use something like Edge.js that we can call .NET code from Node.js, or it supports the other direction as well. We could use, we could call into Node modules that may be available that aren't readily available in NuGet. We could use something like the request module in Node.js to call into .NET Web API or even WCF or SOAP services. There's a lot of you can do with Node.js to call any type of web service. And my personal favorite is messaging. So using a messaging platform like RabbitMQ or Azure Service Bus, going toward a messaging architecture has a lot of benefits around scalability and so forth, and it can be a great way of integrating different platforms together. And we could spend a whole another session talking about the benefits of that type of approach. Now, before we end, I want to tell you that there's been some great content on the MVP virtual conference so far, and there's more great content to come. My personal philosophy is that you don't need permission to be awesome. So whatever good stuff that you're finding out about in this virtual conference, kind of the idea of it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. You should be working for a great company like I do, that we believe that you don't need permission to be awesome. Go and take what you've learned and apply it and run with it. And with that, you can access these demos plus a whole list of resources that are available. There's some video courses, some books that I've listed, links to the downloads and tools that I've talked about. Those are all included in the README out on this GitHub project that you can get to using this shortened URL, bit.ly/node-demos. You can reach me on Twitter, Reverend Geek. I would love to hear from you, get feedback from you, answer any questions that you have about, and tell you about, you know, some of my journey from starting to incorporate Node.js into my developer tool set. And I will see you on the internets. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions that are available.
Hi, David. Just wanted to chime in here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open the polls right now while David takes some questions from our audience. So if you look to the left-hand viewing area of your screen, you will see some polls displayed. David, you can continue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, David. Alvin here. We've got one question in the queue right now. Ronald wants to know, how does Node compare with ASP.NET MVC for line of business applications?
Well, you can certainly accomplish a lot of the same things with either platform. Some of the arguments that I would say that are for Node.js would be the things that I've talked about, and that being JavaScript being a very strategically important language, that it's the universal language. It's going to be continue to be the universal language. It's a great language to invest in. And Microsoft recognizes that as well, with support for JavaScript to build native applications in Windows 8 and Windows 10. It's going to continue to grow. There's certainly a lot of great tooling support if your line of business applications are in a Microsoft ecosystem already, and the kinds of platforms and services that you're going to be interacting with are on-premises Microsoft tools and platforms, then ASP.NET MVC might be the better approach. SJS is a great way to bridge that gap, but there may be a little bit less friction going with MVC. Now, if your application is going to be deployed to Azure, then the services that are available in Azure, there are no JS clients available, and there's not a real compelling reason to go with MVC versus Node.js. It would be kind of a personal preference.
All right, there's nothing else in the queue at the moment. There was a question earlier that was around SharePoint and Node.js together. I pointed them to a GitHub project that I found on using Node.js with SharePoint, but I don't know if you had any thoughts or experience with that.
I haven't personally done a SharePoint integration with Node.js, but I have seen, like you mentioned, articles on that, and also some things around Edge.js that would enable. I can imagine that Edge.js would enable that type of integration.
All right, that looks like all we've got in the queue.
Hey, that's awesome. It means I did a great job, right?
That's right.
All right, well, thank you again, everyone. If there are any questions that come up afterwards that you may think of, please do send me an email or send me a message on Twitter. I'll be glad to help you.